Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Donald Trump supporters who attacked the US Capitol 4 years ago have begun leaving prison after the newly installed president issued a sweeping pardon that signaled he intends to make robust use of his executive power. The Republican president's pardon of 1,500 defendants yesterday, which was inauguration day, of course, drew outrage from politicians and some police officers who were endangered in the attack on the 6th of January when thousands of Mr. Trump supporters stormed the Capitol. We can take a listen now to some of what the US President Donald Trump had to say.
Sir. Yes, sir. First, we have a list of pardons and commutations relating to events that occurred on January 6, 2021.
Okay, and how many people is this?
I think this order will apply to approximately 1,500 people, sir.
So this is January 6th. These are the hostages. Approximately 1,500 for a pardon?
Yes.
Full pardon?
Full pardon or commutation?
Full pardon. We have about six commutations in there where we're doing further research.
There you have it. Joining me now for reaction is Republican strategist Kevin Madden, who advised Mitt Romney's 2008 and 2012 presidential campaigns and also a senior partner at Penta Group. Kevin Madden, you're very welcome.
Cormac, great evening to you. Thanks for having me.
Now, the Wall Street Journal are calling it a flood of executive orders. He's covered so much. But what do you make of Trump 2.0 day one?
Well, I think Trump 2.0 depends largely on who you voted for. I think if you're a Trump critic, yesterday in the start of the Trump administration was a dark day, and you have many, many critics who are worried about his agenda and how aggressively he'll pursue it. But if you're a Trump supporter, and I saw many of them yesterday here in the Capitol, there is a palpable and was a palpable sense of jubilation and almost a feeling of liberation. Trump's most ardent supporters are just very excited to reverse what they saw as the decline the decline in the wrong direction that was pursued over the last 4 years under President Biden. I think the main thing is we are still a very closely divided country, and we have many pitched battles ahead. And I think it is a reflection of that very closely divided government and very closely divided electorate.
Yeah, and when you talk of the decline, it's mostly economic, I think, that Trump supporters are talking about. You look at the pardons, though, the pardons for the January 6th rioters, for want of a better word, and what they did. Even Trump supporters, I would imagine, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, would grimace at this. They broke through security barriers. They bashed their way through past police officers. They gained entry to the Capitol building. Very kind of un-American-like for a lot of Trump supporters, I would imagine. Is anybody uncomfortable on the Trump side with that pardon?
You know, as a Republican who worked in that Capitol building and having witnessed the events of that day, I'm a perfect example of somebody who's not comfortable with the pardons. That day, I think, was still a stain on the history of that building and on the history of our country. But it's, I think, again, it's a reflection of the sort of political inkblot that we sort of live in today. Many Americans just don't share that sentiment very deeply. They do not view it as a major point of reflection or a major point of attention for our politics. And they prefer that we forget it and move forward. So I think Trump's strongest supporters are very supportive of the president's decision to kind of move on. And I also think this was the major risk of Biden's actions as it related to commutations and pardons in the waning days of his presidency. He essentially has given license to Trump and a lot of Trump supporters to offer similar levels of clemency to his supporters. And that's where we are right now.
Yeah, the preemptive pardon, I suppose, for his supporters and his family as well, which people raised an eyebrow at, I'm sure. But then again, maybe that points to the fact that he feared a vindictive presidency, Kevin. I mean, what's the likelihood of that happening? And from a strategic point of view, how would that play?
Well, look, I think there are many very big challenges that the country faces. If you think about what Trump did in order to win, he talked about how he's going to bring down inflation, how he was going to secure our border, and he was going to make America great again. I think a lot of the litigation on some of the personal conflicts, a lot of the continued litigation against the Biden presidency will serve as a distraction on that. If he's going to really enact his agenda and solve some of the problems that he that voters really care about, he has to focus very intently on that domestic agenda. And I expect that's where the best political salvation for Trump will continue to come from.
There's throwing meat to the mob as well, isn't there, in terms of declaring that there are only two sexes. And then there's the substantial detailed work that, he might have to get his roll up his sleeves and get down to in terms of immigration and tackling inflation and so on, even though inflation is quite low, I think, in the US. But I mean, can he succeed on immigration, let's say?
Well, look, I don't think it's throwing meat to the mob, because if you think about some of the issues that Trump has prioritized, tackling inflation and trying to get stronger economic growth, immigration and securing the border, and even some of the cultural issues like gender, those are 70-30 issues here amongst many voters. And I think they're particularly important issues for some of the battleground swing areas that really matter electorally and politically here in the United States. So I think you'll continue
It's an emotive issue. And to declare that first and foremost is to raise a flag for his side of the debate there. Isn't that right?
I think it works to his advantage, because oftentimes his opponents are so reflexively critical of him on an issue that I think a large part of Americans would agree with him on. And so I think that's where Trump's political capital comes from, is really knowing how to needle his opponents and then generate energy amongst his base.
What about the fear that some on this side of the Atlantic might have about a tariff or a trade war, and also stuff like withdrawing from the World Health Organization? That's raised some eyebrows.
Yeah, it's raised some eyebrows, and I think it's important for our friends in Europe to be very focused on the risk here, because I think the risk is very high. A major feature of Trump's foreign policy will be to test multilateral institutions and sort of reset America's role when working with them. That's what you're seeing with pulling out of the withdrawal from the WHO. And after this flurry of executive orders, I think the biggest piece of legislation moving through Congress in 2025 is going to be a massive tax policy bill. And, you know, many of Trump's cabinet members have singled out the U.S.-Ireland relationship as it relates to taxation and trade and tariffs. And so there is a significant risk there. And I think it's going to be a major point of attention for the corporate community as we go through 2025, given how important that 2025 tax legislation is going to be to Trump's agenda.
Yeah, that's being talked about here, Kevin, as well. How big a risk is that to Ireland, do you think?
I think it's a particularly important risk, because I think, you know, I think with tariffs, and then second with tax policy, that's how Trump believes that we engineer a greater level of American competitiveness around the globe. So one of the first executive orders signed looks at that U.S.-Ireland issue and the risk that for multinationals with, I think, a presence or HQ in Ireland, I think it's pretty high. And I think this is going to be the number one domestic policy battle, because Trump's tax cuts, his signature tax cuts that he enacted in 2017, they expire at the end of the year. So this is going to be a very important focus of Trump and his economic team as his work with Congress begins this year.
Okay. Interesting times ahead, no question about it. Kevin Madden, very good to talk to you, I must say. And thank you for sharing your expertise on that. We'll talk again quite soon. That is Kevin Madden, senior partner at Penta and Republican strategist.